Anyone have a song? By the way, I enjoyed all those songs last week and enjoyed the singing, and I think they're in the church where I got saved. They're in that church doing homecoming today, and Doug and Karen, and Karen wants us to remember her. She's got to go into surgery. I think it's next week, and
Wednesday,
this week, this coming week, yes, and so remember her, if you would, in prayer as she faces that. And I know we've got others facing surgery as well. Want to remember them. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 5. As Brother Eric was teaching this morning, he said three things that Christians, those who are saved, needs to do. Read the Bible, pray, go to church. I believe that to be true. I believe if you're saved and those three things aren't in your life, then there's something missing. We also want to preach this morning about another great need you have in your life. And so I want to read a little bit more than I normally read, but I'm really going to just focus upon a verse or two. But I want to lay it in context, and I want you to follow with me. You know, I believe anybody that's got spiritual discernment has to recognize that the days are drawing very nigh to the coming of Christ. I believe that he's coming. I believe that he is setting the groundwork for his coming, and I believe we see it all around us. I see the fulfillment of scriptures happening everywhere. And somebody said, well, it's always been that way. Well, it's not always been that way. I'm old enough to remember when life, family life, was hard, but it was very simple. I remember when we ate every meal around the table together. I remember when Sundays, everything was shut down, and the only place to go was church if you went anywhere. Then after church, we would normally go over to someone, or they would come over to our house, we would fellowship. I remember as children, we would grab sticks, corn cobs, sometimes that'd get us in trouble, a few other things, and make games out of it. We didn't have all these high-priced toys. And when I was growing up, there was six of us kids. And I can only remember having one bicycle at one time that Dad traded a bunch of watermelons for. And it was a girl's bike. But I sucked my pride up and rode it anyway. But only having one bike in our lifetime. And we were proud to have it, to be honest with you. But the fact of the matter is, life used to be simple. It was tough. It was hard. But these last days, the devil's going to be so successful in keeping us so busy. Daniel wrote about them and said it's going to be running to and fro. Knowledge was going to be increased. And so we see all that happening around us. And so Paul is referring to that here. And begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 5, beginning in verse number 6 or 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, circumspectly is having the ability to understand the course that God wants you to walk and what's meant for you to walk in the place where he has put you. And he says that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, understanding the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That means that the times that it's not going to be easy to live like you need to live in the days in which we're living because of so much evil. And by the way, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. And you're not going to stop them. But what we're going to do is we just try to soften the damage whenever and however we can. But look on. He says in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding, and you ought to underline this, what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now underline that as well. We're going to come back to those two phrases in a moment. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and the mother, which is a commandment with promise, first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye servant as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there a respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then this is the verse Brother Eric referred to earlier. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am a ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Turn back in your Bibles, if you would, in verse number 17 and 18. You may say, wouldn't it be nice if our homes were in peace and love and harmony? Wouldn't it be nice if our family and our children, it was peace and love and harmony? Wouldn't it be nice if I went to work and at work it was peace and love and harmony? Wouldn't it be nice when we battle all the battles of this old life, if I could find peace in the midst of this evil, corrupt world, wouldn't it be nice if I could have the boldness to witness and share Christ as God would have me to do? This morning, I want to show you what we're missing and the only thing keeping us from it. This morning, we want to preach on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to stay with me a minute, and I want to show you a couple things. And I want you to understand, it's probably one of the most misunderstood biblical doctrines in the Bible. And it is a direct command. He doesn't say, well, if you'd like to be filled, he says, be filled. The word filled means to be full to the top. And what he's talking about is suppressing the flesh, because in Galatians chapter 5, we find in verse 17 that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another. They're always at war. Amen. And so you have one of the two that's winning if you're saved. Now, let me say this. You can't be filled with the Spirit in the sense in which Paul's talking about until you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God. It's impossible for you to do what I'm preaching on today. But this is all those who are saved. He commands us to be filled. Now, to be filled is to yield to the Spirit and suppress the flesh. Paul said he had to beat his flesh into subjection. In other words, this flesh always has things it wants to do contrary to what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Amen. And so what he wants us to understand is to understand the will of God. And if you notice here, he uses a reference of being drunk. And what he's talking about is to be able to be influenced and to have be influenced by the Spirit of God, and to change our behavior because of the Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you something. When you fill the role of any of these positions, you husbands in your house, you wives in your home, you children in your home, when you fill the role of sitting here in church and worshiping, when you fill the role of going to work, if you can find the secret to being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, love, and all those things, gentleness and patience, all those things, and you will find that you not only do it, but you love doing it.
Yeah. Amen.
You have joy in doing it. It's tremendous when you allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you remember when you got saved? When you got saved, at that moment, you were filled with the Spirit of God. Remember what love you had? Remember how you wanted to just share the gospel with whoever you saw? Say, boy, I got saved. Want to tell you about when I got saved? Remember the boldness you had? Now, let's look at a few things. First of all, before I get into this, let me tell you what being filled with the Spirit is not. Jot a couple things down. And by the way, it's not the same as being indwelt by the Spirit. Everyone who is saved is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And we'll see in a moment, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're not His. It's not talking about being sealed by the Spirit of God. We are sealed until the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, until you get your redeemed body. Amen. It's not talking about being baptized by the Holy Ghost of God. All of those things are done one time and one time only. Never to be repeated. Being filled is a continual process. You could be filled today, And then you could lose out to the flesh tomorrow. That's why, as he was talking about this morning, praying. Praying is something you might pray today and then get away from praying tomorrow and get out of the will of God. You've got to continually work at it. And you got to continually strive at it. Same thing with being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to continually fight your flesh off and allow the Spirit of God to have control and yield yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how do we know the leading of the Holy Spirit of God? By praying, by reading the Word of God, letting it speak to us, and by coming to church and letting the Word of God penetrate our heart and give us direction in life. Now, some will not be happy with what I've got to say, but the filling of the Holy Spirit of God is not a second work of grace. There is no such thing as a second work of grace. Grace comes to you, I'm talking about saving grace. Serving grace is all the rest of your life after you get saved. Saving grace comes one time. You're saved. You're saved. Some people try to teach that you're saved and you're filled later. Nope. You're filled the moment you're saved. Not only that, it's not some charismatic experience that you get or gift of the Holy Ghost of God jumping on you. I've had some that said, well, they was moved with the Holy Spirit and they fell on the floor rolling and dancing and they were just slain by the Spirit. Some put it this way, they speak in unknown tongues when they're filled with the Spirit. Some say they bark like dogs. Read of one, a revival some people had. They said they was filled with the Spirit and they began to crow like roosters. Laugh uncontrollably. Fall into trances. Lose control of all senses. That is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some people has the idea that they can lay on a loved one's grave or lay on the altar and pray through until the Holy Ghost fills them. That's not it either. Some says that it's spiritual baptism, to be baptized by the Spirit. But notice if you would, keep your finger there a moment, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says that there's one baptism. And it comes with salvation, and it's simultaneously with conversion. In verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, let me say this. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not for some sign, nor is it for some shout, nor for some show. Now, let me say this. I believe that when you just sit dead still all the time in service, there's something missing in your life from the Spirit. I believe you ought to be moved at times. The filling of the Holy Spirit is to fill us for sanctification purposes, for service purposes, to be able to serve God. And what it does is it causes a cleansing of sin in our life and a yielding to the will of God. That's what God wants. He wants us to yield to the Spirit of God. And listen, whenever you pray, the first thing that the Holy Ghost of God will show you is your sins. And when you have sin and you're trying to pray and get a hold of God, first thing he does is reveal some things that you need to get right with him. And to be able to be filled with the Spirit of God, you've got to come and you've got to face those things and ask for cleansing by asking God to forgive you and cleanse of all unrighteousness. And then what we do is we yield to the will of God in our life. Now here again, he refers to it as he tells us not to be drunk with wine in excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, to be indwelt of the Holy Spirit when we get saved, Let me show you a couple verses real quickly, and then I want to bring this to thought. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 8. When you are saved, you are born again of the Spirit of God. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Your body becomes a temple of God. Never again, now hear me, never again in your lifetime will your body ever be without the Spirit of God indwelling in you. It indwells you from the moment you get saved. Notice in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. The Spirit of God is given to us to identify us that we are the children of God. It's our identification mark that God identifies us as his. How can we know? And by the way, when you really discern and you have the discernment of God, you can usually pick up when someone else has a Spirit of God. You can sense it. You can relate to it. In the same token, there's times when you can sense that somebody, even though they claim to have some, they don't, your spirit does not witness with their spirit very well. It's just something wrong. Now his spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so therefore we need to understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is for our identification. Also, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, turn there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? The Spirit of God has been given to us as a liberator. There is no sin in our life that we have to be in bondage to anymore once we get saved. We have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit of God, we have the ability to overcome all things in our life. Somebody said, well, preacher, I've had this problem. You know, I tried to tell some people one time, they was dealing with me with AA. And I told them, I said, listen, when you claim to be a child of God and you come and you sit and every single week, you're looking at people and saying, I'm still an alcoholic. I'm still controlled. You need to understand that the Spirit of God has been given to you to let you overcome all things. There is no sin in our life that we have to be in bondage to once we get saved. God gives us ability to overcome it. Somebody said, I can't. You can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. So not only is it for our identification, it also is for our liberation. It liberates us. Not only that, but look if you would in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 30. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed until the day of redemption. Now, he preserves us. You know why it's good to have the Holy Spirit of God? Because he's going to be with me until I die. And when I die, God will take me where I am going. But until I die, I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The devil might get in my mind. He might tempt my body and flesh, but he'll never have my soul. I am sealed until the day of redemption. I am going to heaven, and there's nothing he can do to stop that. Now, he might tempt me to sin. He might bring me to shame on this earth. But he cannot prevent me from going to heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ has given me eternal life. So yielding to the Holy Ghost is what God wants you to do to be able to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to note this. Now, stay with me a minute. I want to ask you a question this morning. This is what I'm preaching on. I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking to me. Now, first of all, if you're not saved, you won't be able to answer this question because it doesn't apply to you. But are you filled with the Spirit of God? Have you yielded to God this morning? And have you suppressed the flesh? Now, some of you have done that to a certain degree just to come to church today. Your flesh said, stay home. Your flesh said, let's go to the lake. Your flesh says, let's go do this. But you submitted to God and yielded to God and came to the house of God. Now, some of you have purpose in your heart that you're going to be here, and it wasn't even a question. There are some things in our life as Christians that we need to purpose in our life. Amen. Therefore, it's not even a question whether we're going to do it or not. We're just going to do it. Now, when we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to change relationships. It's going to change relationships toward God and to each other. It's going to change our reactions. It's going to change reality of what's going on in your life. Look back in your Bible a moment. Let me show you this real quickly, and I'm going to close. First of all, it's going to change your worship. Please listen to me. When you were singing a while ago, how many of you were singing? Those of you who were singing, who were you singing to?
Yeah, amen.
Look, if you would, what happens when you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Turn back in your Bible and look, if you would, in verse number 19. Now notice verse number 18 all the way down to verse 21 is one verse. It doesn't stop. So let's begin reading the verse in 18. Be ye not drunk with wine in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Now psalms is scripture that's brought into music. And hymns. Now hymns are songs that are made to praise God. And spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are songs that stirs your spirit. There's a couple songs sometimes we sing here that just stirs my spirit. Several of them. But a couple comes to my mind. It is well with my soul. That stirs my spirit every time I sing it. What a day that will be. It stirs my spirit. But now notice this. Speaking yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your what? In your heart. Now notice the depth of where this is going to come to from. In your heart, to the who. Now, get this a minute. You can put yourself to a test. Filled with the Spirit. When I was singing, people said, preacher, I don't have a voice, very good voice. Did I misunderstand that? Or did it say, Chris, sing so Terry will like the way you sing? Or Diane likes the way you sing, Brother Roger. Now, you've got to be thinking of Diane sitting around you when you sing, because you're going to sing quiet so she can't hear you, because you're afraid that she might laugh at you singing. Or that she might think that you can't sing very well. That's not what it says, is it? Two people you sing to. Yourself. And to the Lord. Nobody else. So when you get filled with the Spirit of God, sometimes I get over here. Sometimes I sing. I'm just singing away. Sometimes I'm even singing the wrong words. But they sound good to me. And I usually sing loud enough where when I make a mistake, everybody hears my mistake. My wife points it out.
Some of you laugh with her. But I really don't care. Because sometimes when I'm singing, or sometimes I may be up there listening to someone sing. And by the way, folks, listen to me very carefully. We got to get our special singing back in place where it belongs. We've completely about quit that. And I can't tell you how many times. I was singing the other day when you were singing that song from the depths of my heart, and the altar began to be full. What happens is, when we come together and worship and we yield ourselves, we sing to ourselves. I was singing when you got up there and led that song the other day, Brother Eric, Sunday. It was a blessing to me because it stirred in my heart. And I was thinking, you know, we sing to ourselves and we sing to the Lord. And that's what worship is about, but we can't worship until we are filled with the Spirit of God, because until we're filled with the Spirit of God, we either sit there all hum-hollering, we're thinking about something else, we're worried about what somebody may say about our singing. You young people, some of y'all used to get up and sing, just bless my heart. Now you got to be teenagers and all, what's somebody going to think? Oh, I can't sing. The boys, we can't sing. Then they get on the van and they sing. All them boys by themselves, Scott, they just sing way out loud. Sometimes I have to quieten it down. Look here. I'll tell you the way you test your worship. If you feel with the Spirit, you really don't care what anybody else thinks about what you're doing. You're singing to two people, yourself and to the Lord. And if your voice cracks, if you're off key, God doesn't care. But he wants it from your heart. And so therefore we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from our heart when we are filled with the Spirit. And when we're not, then we just go through the repetition of singing the words and not even getting the meaning of what we're singing. And sometimes we get singing the same song, Amazing Grace. How amazing is grace? And sometimes we get so used to singing, Amazing Grace, how we sing to ourselves. God's amazing grace that saved my sinning soul and brought me to where I am today. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And see, we forget what we're supposed to be doing, because what happens, we get to flesh and we're letting the flesh win victory. Oh, wondering what I'm going to fix for dinner. Or, oh, I'm so tired, I shouldn't have stayed up till midnight last night, and I'm so tired, when's this thing going to be over with? That's the difference between being filled with the Spirit. And man, when you get a congregation of this number filled with the Spirit of God, amazing things can happen. Nobody's worried about time. I remember one service we had one time, some of you that was here, remember, it lasted 4 hours. 10 people got saved that day. People left the door and they said this to me, Preacher, you closed too early tonight. And I thought it was about an hour and a half, and I looked at my watch, it was 4 hours. And I didn't see one person during the whole service look at their watch. And there was a time when everybody, except one person we've been praying for, everybody else in the whole church, and I didn't even ask, it didn't even give an invitation. I was just praying before I gave the invitation, and I looked up, and the whole church had emptied out but one person, and he was standing back there on that back pew. And then all of a sudden, here he come. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Being filled with the Spirit of God will affect your worship life. You can judge whether you are by the way you sing. Are you singing to yourself and to the Lord from your heart? Or you got other reasons for singing? If you get up here and say, oh boy, I'm somebody special. I think I'm going to sing. Sometimes I watch some of them singing songs sometimes, or those things. And some of them people get up there and they think they're a 10. And man, I give them a -2. They think they're, and you know what? There's some people gets up in church, they think they're all that. And all they do is sing to be seen instead of singing to the Lord.
That's right.
Number two, the reason why I read all this chapter in chapter 5, our wedded life as well as our worship life will be affected. It will make a sanctified home when you are yielded to the Spirit. Husbands will be leaders. Hear me? Husbands will be leaders when you allow the Spirit of God to lead you and to fill your life, you will be a leader of a home. You will be a lover of a home. Not only that, you will also be the laborer of the home. You will protect, provide. Wives, you will be a helpmate. Submissive. As God says, I ain't going to be submissive. You ain't going to be filled with the Spirit of God either. And you know what? When you're not where you need to be, husbands and wives, you know what you do? It's not love, joy, and peace. It's war. Battles. Fights. Over all little things. Somebody said, why do we always fight in our house? Because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and fight. Man, I tell you what. Whenever the Spirit of God, I yield to Him. Sometimes in a service, I get things right with God. I walk out that door. I don't want nobody saying nothing. I don't want to argue with nobody. I just have joy and I want to love everybody. So our wedded life. Not only that, but notice if you wouldn't, I read chapter 6 because the first four verses, children, verse 3 tells you, obey your parents and Lord. This first commandment with promise. You won't live long upon the earth? God says, listen, you young people, you get yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't go in there and badmouth your mom and dad. You can go in there and backtalk. My uncle that led to singing last Sunday, Charles, he probably won't appreciate me telling this, but I remember as a teenage boy, he was probably about 19 or 20. My dad was there, and you know, my dad, he was pretty rowdy and done a lot of things. But my aunt was telling me the other day, she said, you know, mom and dad said, your dad never, ever in his whole lifetime backtalked either one of them. He would shut up. He got in all kinds of problems. He did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. I mean, he was a rouster. But whenever they would confront him, he would shut his mouth. He'd take what whippings he had to take. He'd take what punishment they had to give him. But I remember my Uncle Charles. We was there. And I had a piece of watermelon in my mouth. I remember it vividly. And we were sitting there eating watermelon. All my uncles and aunts and Charles was there and Dad was there. And Charles screamed at my grandmother, his mother, about something, or backtalked her or something. And my dad smacked that watermelon and smacked his face and knocked him to the ground. He said, don't you ever disrespect my mother again. Now, I remember him picking himself off the ground. Now, I'm not saying that was right. But children, if you yield to the Spirit of God, you won't be back-talking your parents. And parents, you won't be driving your children to anger. You will be nurturing them in the Lord. And therefore, it makes a peaceful, loving house when people are yielded to the Spirit of God. Oh, I'd love to have that kind of house. Then if you're saved, you can have. But you got to yield yourself. So not only do we do it in our worship life, we also can measure our wedded life. So let's take a good look at our homes. You don't have to stand up and tell me. It's between you and God. Remember, this is a test between you and the Lord. Also, look in chapter 6, verse 5 and through 9, your work life. When you go to work, do you gladly do what your bosses tell you to do?
Or is it running your mouth against them and trying to do things against them and just taking shortcuts when they're not looking? Or are you gladly serving those employers that gives you paycheck? And those of you that are employers, are you treating your employees the way God would have you to treat them? And you say, well, this one guy may go and he say, man, I hate this job. And you're there going to the job and you're saying, boy, I love the Lord so good. I'm so glad to have this job. And just whatever he tells me to do, I do that. I've known some people that God has, they've yielded to God in things in their life, and man, he promotes them. Remember how Joseph got promoted all the way through Egypt? Remember how Daniel got promoted? You know what? You know the secret of their promotion? They're yielding their life to the Lord. And look here. And so what happens is this. Even our work life would change if we yield and we get filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. People at work that's not saved will see a difference in you. And it will make them want to have. But if you claim to be saved and you're sitting there and going to work every day whining and complaining and just half doing your job and showing up late and trying to leave early and trying to find every excuse in the world to put your work off on somebody else, you know what the message you're sharing with everybody else is? Brother Junior, I'm going to use him. I don't mean to be bragging because he'll tell you there's issues in it, but you know he volunteers at a place. And he said, now get this. He volunteers at a place, and so there's people that comes and donates things, and you have to go get the boxes and put them places and do things with them and help carry things out and so forth. And all them people that's supposed to be there, they whine and complain about it and they try to get it somebody else. He says, whenever I see somebody drive up, I run to have a blessing of carrying their stuff in for them. Isn't that what you told me, brother? Isn't that what you told me? He said, because it pleases me to be able to help. And if someone needs something carried out, he said, I want to do it with a smile and tell them how good God's been. How old are you, brother? 76. And all them young scrappers go in there and carry them boxes. And you know who's carrying the boxes around there? And he's doing it with a smile on his face. That's what the world needs to see at work. Not only that, but also in our war life. Why did I read chapter 6, verse 10 down through 17? Because even warring, and we're all going to fight battles, but if you want to fight battles and have victory, and you want to fight battles and have joy, peace, and love, even as you're facing all these battles we face, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit of God and be filled with it. And you have to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand in this evil, wicked day that we do. And last but not least, look in verse 19 and 20. Our witness life. To be ambassadors and be able to speak boldly. You know where speaking boldly comes from? That's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, that we might have power to be able to testify and witness unto all the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. When's the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody? When's the last time that you said, I want to tell you about what God has done for me? When's the last time you said, I want to tell you how Jesus saved my soul and how he changed me? You say, preacher, I don't have the courage. You know where we get the boldness? By yielding to the Holy Ghost. Beating the flesh down. And the flesh will say, oh, I've got too much pride. I'm afraid what I mean, they might laugh at me. They might not like what I got to say. the world's not going like sometimes. But I cannot tell you. I'll share this with you, and I'll close. Several years ago, I got a letter from a guy in prison. And he said, you know what? He said, I came to your church one time, you preached, I got so mad at you, I couldn't see straight. And he said, I left, and I decided I'd never go back. And he said, I ended up going to prison. He said, but I want you to know, some 7 years after that, I've set up my prison cell, and your sermon has gone over and over and over in my head. And he said, I just wanted you to know that I got saved the other day from the sermon that you preached 7 years ago. God says that we sow and we water, but he gives increase.
That's right. Amen.
And you never know how your witness may be the only witness someone receives. But your witness life only comes and strengthens by yielding to the Holy Ghost of God. So I want to ask you this morning, judge your spiritual life. Now, if you're not saved, it doesn't apply to you. If you're saved, judge this. Is your worship life where it needs to be? Speaking to yourselves from your heart and to the Lord from your heart. And those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Is your wedded life where it needs to be? Husbands, wives, children, fathers, mothers. Is your work life where it needs to be? Employees, employers. Is your war life where it needs to be? All you soldiers of the cross. Is your witness life where it needs to be? Boldly sharing the gospel, taking a track and handing someone? If not, we need to suppress our flesh and yield to the Spirit and say, God, help me to yield unto you this morning. And friend, if you're here and you're not saved, if the Spirit of God is drawing you to be saved, would you come this morning and be saved? As we stand, give a song of invitation, brother.
Page 385 in the river.
How about this morning?
385.
God spoke to your heart. You need to come. You say, oh, preacher, he spoke to my heart, but I just want to resist, or I've got too much pride to come. Then you're not yielding. You got to yield to him. If he spoke to your heart, you need to decide, am I going to yield to the Spirit of God? You can leave here with that joy and peace and all the things that comes along, and love and all the things come along with the fruits of the Spirit. But you must learn to yield to him. Continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. How about as we sing? Would you come? However God may lead you. If you need to be saved, would you come?